In Lancaster County, an intensive program aimed at helping people integrate into society after leaving prison is drawing the attention of officials across the state. WHYY's Bobby Allen paid a visit to Lancaster. He was trying to figure out what's made the city's reentry program so successful and what Philadelphia leaders can learn from the model.
In Philadelphia, around 60% of people coming out of state prison commit new crimes. But it's less than 20% for those who complete an intensive reentry program in Lancaster. Some of its services have helped transform the life of 41-year-old Isaac Rivera. He served 2 decades for several violent crimes, including aggravated assault and rape. He remembers first learning of the program at Lancaster's probation and parole office after he was released in January.
Sitting in the lobby, I saw a brochure said that just got out, and I pulled the brochure out. And lo and behold, it talked about a support group for those who are returning citizens.
There, Rivera met other people who are struggling trying to get back on their feet. He recalls talking to the group about one of the challenges he was confronting after being out on his own for the first time since his 1997 arrest.
20 years, a lot of stuff has been lost, and so here's the catch-22. I can't get a birth certificate without an ID. I can't get an ID without a birth certificate.
Hearing that others share this experience made going through it easier. Melanie Snyder with the Reentry Management Organization says that's no small thing.
There are so few places where people who have been caught up in the criminal justice system can feel like their voice matters. Coming into that space every week where they know that they are going to be accepted and welcomed and respected and loved is like this manna from heaven. Mm-hmm.
These twice weekly sessions are just a small part of the schedule that former inmates in the intensive program are put on. It's kind of like boot camp for ex-offenders. They're set up with transitional housing. They have days full of job trainings, workshops on life skills. They're assigned a case manager and have weekly goals. And probation and parole officials in Lancaster, usually on the other side of the aisle, are partners in the program.
If you address the things, the need areas that are making a client's risk to recidivate higher, in other words, you reduce that individual's risk level, by definition, you make the community safer.
That's Mark Wilson, who runs the county probation and parole office. Top probation officials usually focus on law enforcement, not the human service side of things, making his working with the service providers pretty significant. Lancaster's reentry organization is housed in the same building as probation's intake unit. So when someone's released from jail, they meet both with a probation officer and then start learning about reentry services. Wilson says that's no accident. From there, ex-offenders might meet Doug Hopwood, who runs the housing site called the Transitional Living Center. Most just call it TLC. Giving a tour of the halfway house in the former hotel, Hopwood notes a key detail, a private bathroom.
If you're coming out of prison and you have your own bathroom, it's a pretty big deal. You want to get down to Maslow's lower level? Yeah, there's some things that we all take for granted that are pretty big deals.
Living at TLC comes with supervision. They have to keep their quarters spick and span. They have to be civil neighbors. Hopwood says these goals help people transition out smoothly.
And landlords care about 3 things. They care about paying your rent on time, keeping your place clean, and being a good neighbor, which are the 3 things that we monitor here. So when it comes to talking to that landlord and advocating for that person, we can do that with a clear conscience because we've been doing that the whole time.
But before the former inmates can start paying their rent, they need to find a job. For that, they'll walk to a program called Career Link. Brooklyn native Rolando Ponce is a supervisor there. He says it's more than just learning about how to put together a resume and helping connect returning citizens to employers. They will take classes on those things, but they're also learning what he calls soft skills.
If you're currently out of prison and you're going to an interview, don't go in anything that's ripped, stained, or dirty. We want you to look presentable, so we'll put you in slacks, dress shirt, or even a suit if you want. We have all that here. We try to be a one-stop shop and not offer every solution, but as much as we can.
Ponce says not everyone gets it right away, but he says he likes to emphasize a point with them.
Do you want to keep repeating the same cycle or do you want to break that cycle?
Officials in Lancaster have learned that something little, something that should have been avoidable, can often send a former inmate back to jail, like missing a payment on court fees. That can cause a probation violation. To avoid this, once someone gets into the intensive program, the fines and fees former inmates usually have to start paying right away are put on hold for 6 months. Top probation official Wilson agreed to this grace period after advocates pushed for it. Reentry Group head Melanie Snyder elaborates on why this minor policy change has had a big effect.
When you've got somebody who has no income, they're struggling to find a job, they're struggling to even feed, you know, get food, and then you tell them, and by the way, if you don't pay $50 a month toward your fines and costs, you know, you could be locked back up or you could have your food stamp shut off. That's just enormous stress.
A major caveat of the reentry group is that it's pretty small. Last year, the intensive program served just 52 people. Most of them stayed out of trouble, but doing that cost $175,000. Snyder argues that rehabilitating former inmates costs taxpayers half of what it does, keeping them behind bars. Here's another disclaimer. People have to want to be in the program. They have to apply for it while in jail, then they're vetted. Snyder says when she interviews potential enrollees, she listens carefully to ensure they have the right attitude, but maybe aren't likely to succeed without any help.
It's someone at medium to high risk of recidivism, with lots of needs, little or nothing in the way of resources, but who is wanting to make a change.
For Isaac Rivera, serving those 20 years motivated him to set his life straight. But even still, he says the programs as part of the Reentry Management Organization, or the RMO, have helped him stay focused on hard days.
Self-determination is just like a gas tank. It does run empty. So without the RMO, without Career Links, I would have folded a long time ago.
In Philadelphia, Cecily Bradford Jones is the executive director of the mayor's reentry program.
Lancaster's model is phenomenal. It is one that's probably going to be mimicked throughout the country.
Philadelphia is 26 times the size of the city of Lancaster, meaning there are tens of thousands more people being released from prison every year. But Bradford Jones says Lancaster has created a model where all of the players have a very specific role, and even law enforcement has a hand in helping former inmates restart their lives. She says Philadelphia officials should study the Lancaster model, because even if it's serving a limited group of people, it's been able to figure out how to change behavior in a meaningful way, and that's no small feat. Bobby Allen, WHYY News.
This feature is part of the Reentry Project, a collaboration among 15 Philadelphia area newsrooms on the challenges of and solutions to prisoner reentry.